So I just thought about that. I remember sitting in evangelism class in school over at Southeastern under a man named Dr. Gerald Cohen, and you know, he's supposed to be teaching our class, and it's supposed to be a knowledge thing, and we're supposed to be learning, and we are, and all that's well and good. But there would be these moments when he would start to tell about going into other countries and going into Mexico and going into El Salvador and going into Nicaragua and going into Costa Rica and going into Guatemala and going into some of these Central American countries over there. And he would start to talk about how that people would go there and they would share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people, and people by the multitudes, people by tremendous numbers were coming to know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior in these other countries, and it would just be hundreds upon hundreds of people that he would be speaking of that were coming to faith in Christ. And man, he would just sit there and he would just weep. I'll never forget this. I mean, there would be 100 students in the class, and we'd all be sitting there, and we're all taking notes, and we're all writing, and all of a sudden, he would go off on one of his rabbit trails about this campaign that he went on, where he went and he shared the gospel with all these people, and all these numbers of people who broken in life, who needed something in life, who needed some answers in life, who knew that they needed Christ in life. They needed something different in their life. They needed something real. He would begin to tell those stories. And he would just weep and weep and weep. And I would just begin to weep with him. And my heart would be broken. And that started for me this culture of myself, my person, me stepping out of my comfort zone and going to another country. And the first country I ever went to on a mission trip was Mexico. And then we went back. And we went back and we went several times. And then we started going to some of the Central American countries, and I just watched God move in such a tremendous way in these other places that it just radically, it blessed my life, and it changed me, guys. It changed my life forever. It gave me a heart for people that are people, but they may not be people who were raised the same way that I was, or raised in the same culture that I was, or had the same things in life that I had, but they were people nonetheless. They were the creation of God, and God loved them just as much as he loves me. And he cares about all of his creation. He cares about all of his people deeply. He doesn't care just about Scotty Betts. He doesn't care just about Crossroads Church or North Carolina or America. God cares about his creation all over the entire world. And God's desire is for them all to know his plan for them for salvation. God deeply wants you to know today how much he loves you. God deeply wants you to know today that he's gone to his furthest extremes in order to get you to a place to where you could have a relationship with him no matter what culture you're from. And now, so I have been just radically blessed in my life to have my son actually dates the other girl that you saw here, Patty, Lorena's sister, and for Lorena to be here with us, and Felix that you just saw a minute ago up here, reading, they're children of a pastor that was in Nicaragua, and they've moved back to El Salvador because of all the unrest and all the turmoil there now. But so blessed to have them be a part of my life. I have another young lady that is a part of our life that lives with us now named Hannah, and she's from Vietnam. And all that began because we went on a mission trip to Vietnam, and we're going back. Actually, me and my son Kyle are going in December back over to Vietnam. And man, when God sort of just strikes you with this heart for people, it doesn't matter where you are. You just know that God loves all people, and he just wants you to share his word with people. Y'all believe that? Man, I'm telling you, that's where we're at today. So I tell you, I was a little relieved this week as we got to the second half of the book of Romans here, chapter number 8, because it actually, it's a little lighter today, I would say, to some extent, for whatever you could call lighter, at least a little lighter, maybe not as complicated and not as complex as what we have been doing right here. I don't think it might be. I don't know, but it seems like to me it's a little bit lighter. It's going to be a little bit easier. So what I thought I'd do for you today, I would just speak the entire message in Spanish today. And you just translate the best way you know how, okay? And I promise it won't sound as good as Matt's, and there won't be any words to translate. So, but anyway, no, I would not ever do you like that. But if you have your Bibles with you, turn over to Romans chapter number 8. And if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be a Bible there in the seat in front of you. You could take that Bible. We'll have the scriptures for the screen today, too. We'll actually do a parallel of the scriptures today between Spanish and English and make this work for us today. So I'm really, really glad that you guys are here. And I'm really glad that you guys get to experience this. I'm looking out here, you almost did feel the room slam full. Give the Lord a hand for that. You invited people. So I want to talk to you today about three things from scriptures. Those that don't know me, you'll find pretty quick that I just like to stick with the text here, and we work through the text. I love being able to explain the text because I really don't feel like that I have anything to say. I think God has already said it all, and God says exactly what it is that you need to hear. And so I'm tracking with that myself. If I try to live by my own opinions and the thoughts that I have, it's going to be a disastrous time. But when I begin to let my life be guided by someone greater than me, someone higher than me, that begins to make a difference in my life, and it begins to change the way that I think. It begins to change my perspectives about life. So if you're taking notes here, we're going to keep the notes very simple today. I want you to see three things. The number one thing is I want you to see today is hope. I want you to see that there is hope. That's what we're going to uncover in the scripture, in this passage right here in front of us, is that no matter what is going on in your life right now, no matter what your circumstances may be, no matter how dire your situation may seem, God has the ability to pluck you out of that. God has the ability to help you at least minimally right now see beyond that and see that there's hope. And hope is a big word. Because if our hope is based on just what we see around us in this world that we live in today, man, our hope is going to be a calamity. Where we're headed from what we see, it does not look good. If all that I hope for is based on the things that I see around me, that is a very, very difficult life for me to live moving forward, because all these challenges, all this pain, all these struggles, all these things that happen around me that I see, that I dislike, that I wish I could change. It's so difficult. So what do I need to pull me through? What do I need to take me to the next level? And that is where God would tell you today that He wants to give you hope. He wants you to be able to see past where you are right now. And some of us, our circumstances have been of our own making, of our own creation, and we have set up some things for ourselves that, man, we wish we had not done the things that we've done. And some of them are outside of us. They're external to us. They're things that people do. They're things that happen in this world that society does to us and the environments that we're in. And we somehow wish, man, how can I break free from this? Is this all that there is to life? Is this all that I can ever expect? And God would say to you right now, no, because what I want to instill in you right now, if you'll listen to me, what I want to instill in you right now is hope. Hope. But hope that is seated in substance. Not just simply, man, I hope you do well. Man, I hope you get better. Man, I hope things get better for you. No, God says He anchors His hope in substance. And you and I, I mean, it's awesome. I love opening the scripture, because as we open the scripture, we begin to see just this phenomenal unfolding of God that is so much bigger than ourselves. It's hard to even imagine. Look at the very first verse here, verse 18. So Romans, I'm sorry if I didn't get the passage, Romans chapter number 8, verse number 18. Look at this. For I consider the sufferings or the pain, and some of us, there's painful moments in our life right now, whether we admit it or not. We're good at hiding it. So good at hiding the pain. For I consider that the sufferings of the pain of this present time, listen to this, that they are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Wow. So you mean my suffering, my pain, where I am right now, that does not need to be the central focus of my life? And if we get stuck there, we live in despair and we live in pity. And God so desperately wants us to see beyond that. And God says, you need to see right now that nothing compares, nothing in this life, nothing that you have going on in your life right now, your sufferings, your pain, as down as they can take you right now, as low as they can get you in this world and in this life right now, God says nothing compares to what I have for you. And you need to look outside of your circumstances. You need to see what I prepared for you. What I prepared for those who love me. What I prepare for those who've decided to finally look up to me. And you know this, and we all know this, there's times, isn't it, when we and others around us, we have to get at our lowest point before we finally give up, don't we? We see it happen all the time. I was at a major low and a major crisis in my life when I finally realized that it was the true God that I needed who loved me. And when I finally surrendered myself, when I finally allowed Him to break me from my habits and to break me from my sin and to give up myself for the greater, that is when I saw. And God wants to help all of us to see today. He wants us to see, man, that there's nothing in your present suffering and in your present pain that's even worth comparing to what God has for you in His glory. Listen to this. This, as we go here, this is mind-blowing. This is something, I'll be honest with you, I can't even explain this because I know nothing of this. This is all God speaking this to you and me right now because He's the one that says that this is the way that it is. I can't be the one that says that this is the way that it is because I can't make all of this up. It's God saying right now, listen to what He says. For even the creation waits for the eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. He says that even the creation is in angst right now and is anxious right now to see what it is that God actually wants to do for me and you. The entire creation, can you imagine that? The entire world, all of the animals, everything that God has ever made, it is within it. It is within them to glory with us, to desire to see you and I be revealed as the sons and the daughters of God. Watch. For the creation was subjected to futility, or in other words, it was subjected to purposelessness. It's as though you and I would be living in this world saying, well, it's just here. It just exists as though it was just some big accident. And we would have plenty of people, teachers and professors and scientists that would try to teach us that today, that there's no real meaning behind that. And God says, no, the creation, it's alive. It says, but we have subjected it to purposelessness as though where we are, where we live, where we congregate, what we inhabit, as though there's no purpose behind it. But it says, but not willingly. It didn't want to go there. The creation, it didn't want to go there. But because of Him who subjected it to purposelessness, man and man's sin as He brought it into the world. But look at how even the creation looks at hope. Look in hope that the creation itself, verse 21, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of what? The children of God. The creation can hardly wait for what God is going to do next. That's strange, isn't it? To think that this world that we're in, this earth that we're upon, the awe of what God has created and the awe of what God has made, that it desires for you and I to know our God. That they long. Yeah, I mean, I just had crazy thoughts when I was reading that this week. You guys ever wonder why you walk outside and you hear that little bird singing that pretty little song, just tweet, 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 whatever they do? I wish I could do that. I wish I could whistle like that. I can only go, right? But you hear them. You go, well, I hadn't heard one in a while. We never stop and take time to listen, do we? It's like God has the whole creation like singing to us. Like we went to the mountains this week, this weekend, and we got to see the beauty and the grandeur and the splendor of the mountains. And if you want to feel like you're getting close to like the glory of God, it's when you see light hitting those different colors of those trees and those mountains with snow capped and the majesty of it all. And it's like, and they're just saying, know thy God. Know thy Creator. It's amazing what we miss. It's amazing what we let trip us up in this life and we get hung up with. And he says, but I mean, I'm telling you, man, it's like, that's what he's saying. He says, like, the whole creation can hardly wait for what God's going to do with me and you next. And look what he says, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation, look at this, that it's been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And when you and I think of groaning, it's this inner pain. And it says that the whole creation's been groaning. And as I was thinking about that, I'm like, well, what? I mean, how's the creation groaning? Well, think about this. This volcano erupting, earthquaking, flood ravaging, hurricane and tornado destroying, wildfire ridden world of desolate places and sickness and death is groaning for God to come. God, please come. Please don't let this be the end. Please don't let this be all that there is. I don't even want this. I don't want to be this, but because I've been subjected to this as though there's purposelessness and it doesn't matter and earth doesn't matter and creation doesn't matter and mankind doesn't matter. It's madness. And it groans. It groans for what? For God to do something in us. In us. How do we treat this earth? And I know I'd be treading on a political issue right now if I went too far with that, wouldn't I? Did you do that before November 6th, Pastor Scott, right? How do we treat this creation? With purpose? Or futility, purposelessness. God says futility. And God says, but you're not surprising me. I mean, I knew that you would. So not only the creation, verse 23, look, this is why it's so great to go in the Bible, guys. It's like, okay, here's the answers. It's not only the creation, but look at this, but we ourselves, even us, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, especially if the Spirit of God is living inside of you, what do? We groan. We groan inwardly. There's an inward pain that aches and it longs because we're saying there has to be something more. There's got to be more than this. If this is all there is, yes, the reason why some people come to the end of their road and they say, if this is all there is, then I just don't want to live anymore. If this is it, and God says, man, even the whole creation is screaming out around you that this is not it, that there's more, that they can hardly wait to see what God wants to do in you if you'll open yourself to him. But even us, we groan inside of ourselves and there's this intense pain and we're always hurting. And every week brings new challenges and brings new struggles and things happen in our lives that we wish would never happen. And sometimes we find ourselves in places and we're like, I can't even believe I'm here right now. And it causes us to despair. But something inside. I mean, the reason why you're here today is because something inside of you is telling you that there's something more. Something inside of you is digging at you. When someone invited you, and there's so many people in here I've never seen before, someone invited you today, and you said yes, even if reluctantly, like they were getting on my nerves, okay? So I finally said yes. They would not leave me alone, and I would say, where are they at? I want to shake their hand because they're going to be my friend. But they brought you today, but the reason why, the ultimate reason why you came is to say from inside of you, let me see if I can satisfy that longing I have in me. Let me see if there is some possibility, even a remote possibility, that there might be something more. Because where I am right now with my life, if this is it, I hope there's more. So watch what he does. He says that as we eagerly await, what are we looking for? To be adopted by God. You know, we talked about this last week. God comes in with this very personal way of working with human beings. And he adopts us into the family of God. Even though you have another mother and father, God adopts you as part of his family. And then he says, even beyond that, even the redemption of our bodies, God's going to do something greater than you and I could ever imagine in our lives. And so what does he point us to in this? He says, for in this hope, verse 24, for in this hope, this confidence of a future event, we were saved. In what? In hope. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. See, so many want, well, you give me the evidence, and then I believe. And God says it's in faith and it's in hope. That's where it's anchored. But it's faith and hope that's going to get you beyond even what you ask for in evidence. Faith and hope takes you into an entire other realm that has the ability to satisfy your soul. For who hopes for what he sees, he says. Now watch this, but in verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Let me tell you what hope has the ability to do. Hope has the ability to get you up in the morning. Hope has the ability to get you to go ahead and take on another day in your life. Hope gives you the ability to see beyond your circumstances and your trials and your pain and your suffering and your groanings right now. And hope lets you see that there's a future event coming for you. And it can land very, very well for you. It can land very, very good for you if that's what you will allow it to be. And God wakes you up every single day hoping that you will find him. Every day. Hope is for you. Here's number two, help. Not only is it help, is it hope, but it's help. And here's what we need to know, that we're not alone unless we choose to be. Because God gives us help. He helps us through. Watch. Likewise, the Spirit, he helps us in our weakness, in our struggles, in our inabilities to ever feel fulfilled, in our inabilities to ever find true satisfaction in life, in our inabilities to get done what we really want to do and for ourselves and to have the ability to even change people. We're so weak and so frail and we need help. We can't do life on our own. We didn't even put ourselves here. How can we be expected to get it all right? And we're weak and we acknowledge our weakness. So look what he says, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. You know, have you ever been in a place where you're just like, man, I just don't even know how to pray? You're in a good place. Because it's those of us who think somehow we can articulate our way to God that we're actually failing more. It's those of us who would come broken to God and we would just stand before Him or kneel before Him or bow before Him or whatever we do, and we would say, God, help me, a sinner. I need your help right now. If that's you, if you feel far from God, man, you could not be in a better place for God to come to you right now. It's those of us who spend our time in life trying to fool people and trying to fake people and trying to make out like we're in some grand relationship or we're some grand person or some great person that makes it harder for God. It's those of us that would come to God right now and go, you know what, God, I'm done. I mean, I'm broken. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what you want me to say. Because look at what he does. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself, you see this? The Spirit himself intercedes. In other words, the Spirit himself has audience with God. For us, with groanings. Even the Spirit groans. Listen to this. The creation groans. The creation hurts and aches for us. We hurt and ache for us. The Spirit of God hurts and aches for us. And he expresses in groanings that are too deep for words that you and I can't even describe. Somehow the Holy Spirit of God has audience with God and he has audience with me and he knows exactly how I feel and he knows exactly how God feels and he knows how to mesh us both together. God says, I want to give you that. God says, I want to help you with that in this life. I want to give you the ability to walk through this life and know that I am for you and not against you. I want you to know that your plans, the plans that you make, your plans need to align with my plans. And I'm going to give you my Spirit. And my Spirit has the ability to mesh my plans and your plans together. And guess what that makes you in life? Successful, no matter what happens. That's the success of God. It's the Holy Spirit working for me and for you. Look at what he does. He searches, verse 27, he searches hearts, and he knows what is the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints. Look at this. According to what? According to the will of God. The Spirit of God knows my will when I accept him, when I open myself to him. We're going to see in just a moment how this happens. When I open myself to him, the Spirit of God knows my will, and he knows God's will at the same time, and he knows how to bring them both together. And if those two are apart, if God's will is here and your will is over here and you're doing your own thing and you're refusing God's will in your life, then you reap what you sow. That might answer a lot of questions for your life right now. It's not until those two can come together, you go, but I'm weak. That's where God wants you to go, but I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. And that's where God says, exactly. You're prime. Sometimes we have to get to that lowest place before we look up and we really see, because when we mesh with God, when the Spirit meshes our will with God's will, look at this, guys. Because this verse gets quoted all the time. I'm telling you, he's saying right here, especially who this is for, okay? We all want this. We all need this. And we know that for those who love God, right? Can be any clearer than that, right? For those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. There is and there always has been a purpose for your life. There is and there always has been a purpose for the creation of God. You're not here by accident. I'm not here by accident. It's God's purpose. And God wants to take, listen, please, God even wants to take the devastating and the horrific and the tragedies in your life, and God wants to convert those so that they come out good for you. Do you hear me? Please hear that. because you're not skating by in this world without tragedy. You realize that, don't you? And some of us in here, we've already lived that. Some of us in here, we've already felt that. Some of us in here, we've already been through some of those moments. And what we need to know, God, in the midst of the tragedy, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the pain and the struggling and all the stuff that's going on in my life, all the junk of my life, God, what is it that you are doing right now? And God says, if you love me, I'm going to take all that bad and I'm going to convert it for good for you. Do you see it? Doesn't he say all things? We don't need translation for that, do we? According to his purpose. You see, God has purpose for your life. And if we keep trying to do it our way, we'll miss him. So watch. So how do we change this? Watch. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew. Let me just go ahead and tell you this. Those whom he foreknew, that's you. He already knew you before he created you. There's nothing about you that he doesn't know. In fact, he would say that he fashioned you and he knitted you in the womb of your mother, just like you are. He gave you the gifts. He gave you the talents. He gave you the eye color. He gave you the head shape. He gave you the hair or not hair, right? He gave you, hey, be good with it, man. He gave you everything that he gave you. He designed himself. Why? Because he knew you. He deeply, intimately knew you the best that you could possibly be known. And you know what? And he brought you out here anyway. Right? Because he knows. So those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, or he predetermined, to be conformed to the image of or the likeness of his son. In other words, you know what God wants for you? He wants for all of you to be like Jesus. That's what he wants for me. He wants me and you to be like his son, Jesus. And how do we find that out more? By reading his word, by looking at the life of Jesus, by listening to his words, and then letting God's Holy Spirit just plant all of that inside of our hearts. In order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, Jesus says, I want many of you to come to me. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Now look at that. So he predetermined for you to be like his son. And then he said, hey! That got your attention, didn't it? I knew it would. I just thought of that. I promise I didn't pre-plan that. I did not predestine that to happen, I promise. Maybe God did, right? He called you. He called you. The question is, will you answer? Bottom line, that's it. Okay? So we could divide right here, right now, that God foreknew you, brought you into this world, God predestined for you and me to be conformed to the image of his son, and then he called you in this sinful and in this broken world. And the question is now, will you answer or not answer? All right, so if you answer to God and you say, whatever, yes, Lord, or here I am, or whatever it is that you need to say to him to say, God, I'm ready to start my process with you. I accept who you are. I hear you calling. I'm going to answer. What does that answer look like? What happens then? Watch this. And those in verse 30, and those whom he called, he also justified. And we've been talking about this term a lot. If you're here today and you're new today, what it means is he takes the guilty and he makes you innocent. If you're guilty of anything, and you are, we are all guilty of sin. We all stand in that category. He takes what is guilty and he makes it innocent. And then those whom he justifies, he glorifies. He's going to clothe you in splendor one day. That's what he promises. But what about those who don't answer? Because everyone he calls doesn't answer. And I just want to show you that from Scripture. I'm going to let him put this on the screen, Jeremiah 7:13. And now because you have done all these things, declares the Lord, and when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen, and when I called you, you did not answer. And then Matthew 22:3 says, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Some people get called, but they don't answer. When you don't answer, when God has predetermined for you to be conformed to the image of his son, and then he calls you and you don't answer, you don't get justified. You stand guilty for your sin. You answer to God one day in judgment for your sin and why you did not accept his free gift of salvation while you were here, and especially after you've heard the gospel. And so it doesn't end up being glorification. It ends up being condemnation, but that's not what God wants for you. And so that's why he tells you, number three, the last thing, that you're held. That when you come to him, you can know and you can rest assured that no matter what you go through in this life, no matter how you feel, no matter your thoughts, once you come to this place where he calls and you answer, he takes hold of you. And he never lets go. In fact, as I was thinking about this week, man, I thought he takes us and he almost holds us like he does a little baby. We're in the arms of God. So he says, when I'm holding you, when I'm holding on to you, I want you to know something. On this world that you're in, and this harsh, wicked world, this evil world that we live in, he says, I want you to know something. Watch what he says. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Man, some of us, we need that so bad, because sometimes we feel like the entire world, we feel like everything in this life has always been against us. God says, come to me when I call, and then here's what I want you to know. Don't try to scoot around God. Don't try to blame a lot of your mistakes and fall and wallow in self-pity and say, yeah, Pastor Scott, you're right. All this stuff is always bad for me. Well, probably because a lot of us, we create a lot of our own circumstances. We've done a lot of things that we've got to answer for. But what you need is the love of God in your life. Don't circumvent that. Because if he's for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. Look at this. How much do you think God cares? He didn't even spare his own son, but gave him up for who? For us all, for you and that, for this room right here and for the rest of us in this world. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I mean, if God would deliver up his own son for us, how would he possibly somehow just not be here for us when he said that he would be? That would be crazy, because did he give his son without purpose? No, there was a purpose, and the purpose was to bring you in, to adopt you, to bring you into the glory of God. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who's the elect? Those who answer his call. You want to be protected? You want to be taken care of in this life, and not just in this life, but into the life to come? It comes by answering the call of God. And we become the elect of God. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Look at this. He says, and more than that, who was raised. Don't just think about Jesus' death. You think about what happened to Jesus after his death. He was raised from the dead. And that's where he is now, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed, what is he doing? And he's interceding on our behalf. Not only is the Holy Spirit there with audience with God and audience with us, even Jesus, the one who died and gave his life and shed his blood for us, he's there pleading in the ear of the Father, Father, take care of them. Father, would you look at this one? Father, would you listen to what this one says? Father, would you give this one more faith? Father, would you give this one more hope? Father, they came to Crossroads today. You knew they were going to hear the gospel. Father, would you please save them today and make them part of the kingdom of heaven? He's at the ear of his Father for you. He's crying out to his Father for you. And he gave his life for you so that you could have eternal life and so that you could know that, so that you'd have hope to walk through this world, but right through this world into the next world, into the kingdom and into the glory of God. And you'll be so glad you did. I mean, that is where he's tracking from. He's done everything. He's put every process, every strategy that you and I would ever need, he's put all that in place so that we could reap the benefits of that. So watch this. Love this. Here we go. Watch. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? You got anybody bothering you in your life right now? Can they separate you from the love of God? Please think about the depth of that. Go home today and meditate on God loves me so much that he tells me that there's absolutely nothing that can separate me from him. Shall tribulation? And that's physical, mental, social, economic, doesn't matter. Shall tribulation separate me from Christ? Shall distress separate me from Christ? Persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? Look at what he says, because this is where some of us would go. For as it is written, for your sake, we're being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That's one perspective, but Paul says, no! He says, here's a better perspective. Look at this. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You're not defeated unless you give up. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He gives us hope. Then he gives us help. And then he takes us. And he firmly grips us and he holds on to us all the way through this world. Every one of us in this room needs that. Can we bow our heads, please? Father, you know greatly right now what is needed in this room. You created every person here. You implanted a soul in each one of them. You made them in the likeness and in the image of yourself. And you predetermined that every person in this room right here, right now, would be conformed to the image of Jesus. The way that happens is you call us in this life. And right now you're calling. You're calling on hearts. You know how to speak to our souls. You know how to speak to the core of us. You know how to speak to who we really are. You know our identity, who we really are. Not who we've made ourselves into being, but who we really are. And you know our deepest need. So, Father, as we contemplate right now about all that we've heard, about all that you're doing, Father, would you please help us right now? Because we're weak. We put a lot of layers on. There's a lot of unpeeling to do. There's a lot that needs to be broken through right here, right now. But God, you just told me that nothing can separate me from you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if God has your attention right now, would you just speak to him from your heart? Just tell him you love him. Just tell him thank you for not leaving you alone. And then tell him you're sorry for your sin, for running from him for so long. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. And tell him that you believe in his son. That you believe that his son Jesus died on the cross for your sin. And you believe that Jesus' blood has the power to wash all of your sins away and to make you like him. And in that moment, you will have answered God's call. And in this very moment right now, God justifies you. God takes away all of your guilt. God takes away all of the bad choices, all of the bad decisions that you've made in your past, all the corruption and evil that you've devised. And God covers it and pushes it away. In fact, Scripture says that he cast it as far as the east is to the west, never to be remembered anymore. And God looks at you right now in this moment, and instead of seeing a guilty, dirty, wicked person, he looks at you right now with eyes of love, and he says, innocent. And he says, welcome. Welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. I've been waiting. In fact, the whole creation has been waiting. I'm glad you're here. Now let's go. Let's move forward together. Father, I know that you've worked in hearts in here today. I know that you've drawn souls to yourself. I know that you have cleansed and done what only you have the ability to do. And for that, we're so grateful today. For that, we're so thankful today. So, Father, I pray that you take us moving forward and you have your way in our lives and you help our will to be your will. And let's do this life, the rest of it, what we have left, together. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can we stand together? And guys, I want to tell you something. I know that when we first come in together, it's people who don't know each other and we're hesitant to sing, but this song that we're getting ready to sing, I want you to sing it out as though Jesus were standing right here, right now, and looking at you with eyes of love. In your mind and your heart, I want you to think about what he has done for you. And I just want to ask you to sing in the way that it matters to you. Let's sing together.